Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm here today with Dan Ackerman, Executive Vice President and Partner at Guidant Technologies. Dan, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Kind of a familiar face around the studio. Two, 3 years ago, Dan was in the studio and gave us a little bit of an introduction to the company. And what has happened is just this company has just exploded and gone all kinds of new and exciting directions. I thought we'd bring him back in here and maybe give the listeners an update. Guidant, of course, is a company based in Herndon, Virginia. Works for a lot of federal agencies to assist them in a wide range of topics, and that's why we brought Dan in here. But before we begin, Dan, many of my listeners are kind of curious, and they kind of wonder why you're at Guidant and how you wound up working in this field. Maybe you can share with us a little bit about your background.
Early on, I started with doing a lot of Oracle work, government consulting, worked for a lot of three-letter agencies I'm not allowed to talk about, but went to the commercial sector, worked for a company, PSINet, that used to be an internet provider. Many of you probably heard of them. And ran into a couple of my partners there, and they said they wanted to start a small consulting practice. And I told them I just had my second child. I said, I have absolutely no time to start something on the side. I'm extremely busy right now. And they said, we're talking about 20 hours a week. I said, I can't do 20 hours a week. So they brought us back and said, how about 10 hours a week? We'll do 20. You do 10. And so I said, okay, I can do 10 hours a week. And I've never only worked 10 hours a week. They say that that was their best sales job ever.
Yeah. That's. I know how some developers think that's just a minimum. 10 hours a day is what they think. So Guidant started off as a little baby company a few years back and did a little commercial work, did a little federal work. And you found a niche, I guess, in the federal area. And what happened?
Yeah, we started the federal government around 2003. We actually started doing some business intelligence early on in the early 2000s with Nextel and doing their asset management and financial system reporting using Business Objects, which is a BI product. And from there, we moved into the federal market and basically found that, you know, the federal government has a lot of data. They need to access it, and especially the last couple of years with the transparency efforts. Business has been good.
Yeah, it's not a matter of accessing, it's efficiently accessing and trying to figure out what to access and when and what filters and how to do it securely. So it sounds very easy. I'm sure a college student will listen and go, well, hey, I can do that. Now wait a minute, it's a lot more complex than that. I've noticed that you're in many different agencies, and if you Google Guidant and look at awards and accolades, you see all kinds of things that pop up. You get the Fantastic 50 just picked up. NVTC just named you the hottest emerging government contractor, which is kind of an interesting title, and got a lot of awards for your work in a lot of different areas. Tell us about some of the wins you've had for a typical agency in this area.
So recently, to give you an example, but last spring we won a EPA contract for the Office of Emergency Management. It was a two-year contract. They wanted to take their sampling data. One of the first projects they gave us was to take sampling data from like air, water, soil samples and map it geospatial into a portal that they could open to the public. So we had a long time frame. It wasn't due until the first release wasn't due until the fall. And then the BP oil spill happened. And so that long time frame came to, what can you give us in 2 weeks? We need to get this data out to the public in 2 weeks. And so, yeah, the customer loved us, our developers, not so much because they were working around the clock to make that happen. So,
you know, when you go home at night and watch the news, they talk about a number of gallons spilled and recovered in thousands. And this is numerical data that they try to present graphically. And I think that's what business intelligence is. You know, there's some listeners that can go on for hours and hours about BI or business intelligence. But if you're a novice on this or maybe just exploring this area, it's graphical depiction of numerical information like oil spills, like a lot of topics that our listeners and federal agencies must know.
Right. It's really the way we look at it is twofold. One is it's taking data, usually data from multiple sources where you join them together. That's where you get your real value. But it's turning that data into what we call information. So just having the raw data doesn't do you any good. It's putting it in a format that you need or what we say is actionable. So in this case, if you can go to the website, the epa.gov/BP spill, and you can see where all the measurements are taken on a daily basis. And it's showing you on a map where the oil is, basically.
It sure sounds like transparency to me. And so you take a concept like BI, which is really heavily mathematical and analytical, but the end result is transparency, which is what people like Vivek Kundra and Barack are really pushing for, isn't it?
Absolutely. They're running into some problems, and we see that on the news all the time, where business intelligence, we're talking about the presentation layer here, but it really goes deeper than that. You have to also do, like, where do you get the data from? So how do you build your data warehouse? How do you, the ETL, the extraction, transformation, and load processes of taking the data and putting it into your data warehouse? And then you have the data management of the data. So what's the quality of the data? And that's what you see on the news all the time, where they say, well, this project is running over by X amount, and then they come back, and they say, well, that was just bad data. And so one of the things that they're finding is that your data is only as good as the worst part of it. So when you start going to the BI, you will find out your existing systems where you're having data quality issues.
A lot of folks listening in the summer here are going on a vacation. They may be driving that car and see a big truck ahead of them that says, well, dial 1-800 for this hazmat information if there's a spill or some trouble there. You've had a lot of success with DOT with their hazmat site where you took 25 or 30 different data sources, combined them, and put them on a secure portal, keyword secure, where people like me can go on and see information. So this is what business intelligence is. It's taking disparate information and present it in a digestible format.
Right. They learned a lot of information from there, mostly on the regulation side. But the challenge there wasn't just the 25 different sources, which is always a challenge, but it was across multiple government agencies and trying to get these agencies to exchange data in a nice, easy format. But at the end of the day, when they see the value of it, when you give this data back to all the agencies that participated, we're able to see all the data combined, the value is really there. So after the fact, they're like, wow, we're really glad we did this.
You know, when you think of the big targets of transparency and collaboration, well, this is nice to put up on a shelf somewhere, transparency, collaboration. What does transparency mean? How can you take a technical topic like business intelligence, work with Guidant Technologies and Oracle, and come up with something that's easy enough for someone to take a look at and for reporters to look and say, hey, you know, this is a great site. This is exactly what the citizens need from this government. They need this kind of a response.
Right. That's I think that's one of our differentiators, is that we don't look at this as a technical problem. This is a business problem. And so when you're looking at when you're working with a customer, you're asking, what are the three biggest questions that you need an answer to that you can't answer today? You have the data, you just can't get to it in that format. And then you work backwards from there so that you make it a technical solution. But what you really have to do is solve a business problem. Where I think the data warehousing, the business intelligence efforts that fail, they take a technical approach to it. And they try to take the entire system and make it where you can report on anything you want. But your problem is, if you don't understand the data, you don't understand the questions you're asking. You don't understand the response.
And that's what I found out in many different agencies. It's not necessarily a technical challenge, but there needs to be a business analyst that can ask difficult questions from high-level people and just, you know, grab the person by the scruff of the neck and say, we're not leaving this meeting until we find out exactly what you want out of this. And people push those things because it really boils it down to important information. And I think that may be the hardest part of this, is a human versus another human, and just trying to find out, okay, let's go to Department of Transportation and find out what kind of hazmat information do we want to present. You can't present 1,000 things. We can present 50. Or what are your top three? That's just it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, we're not the ones that can be the rough and tumble people, because we are the consultant. But any successful project, there's a key stakeholder that has that drive, that has that vision of this is what we need to present.
And I think a successful consultancy has to be able to walk away, because they don't want to be involved in a failed project. And you folks have a lot of successful projects. So there must have been projects in the federal government that you've gotten into and said, you know, we don't have enough information to solve this problem, and we're not going to give a partial solution. And I think it's very difficult.
It's really helping the customer understand what they're asking you to do, and understand that going down that path is going to result in the failure. And here's a better approach. Let's take a small piece first. Let's not try to, make a whole pie at once.
Pie charts, graphs, graphics, and we'll talk about the nuts and bolts of implementing some of these techniques of bringing together different databases and taking your server and maximizing benefit from using different servers. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Dan Ackerman, Executive Vice President and Partner at Guidant Technologies. First part of the program here, we talked in general about this fuzzy concept of business intelligence and applying it to information like hazmat. Let's transition here and take this concept of business intelligence. And from the perspective of my listeners here, maybe one of my listeners is a federal IT professional and they have to comply with security standards. And maybe they're scratching their head and saying, well, maybe I can take this concept of business intelligence and apply it to complying with security on my servers. Is that a jump there? Is that what people are doing?
I wouldn't say that's what people were doing. That's what we started
that's
doing.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, we just started a project. We started about 2 years ago this concept of something we call VCOP, which is a virtual control optimization portal. So it's basically taking the operational data that you see in a security or data center environment, and how do you apply business intelligence to that problem? One of the things that we saw happening was with the virtualization, a lot of the security processes and procedures broke because virtualization moves so much faster than the standard, you know, wires and pliers type of thing that we had before. And so how do you take that in your data center so you can understand what virtual machines you have where, which ones are security compliant, which ones that aren't, what do they need to do to go through that process? And so that's pretty much what this project started off.
So if you have, let's go back to the Hazmat secure portal is kind of interesting. You have 25 different data sources, bring them all together and come up with some kind of a screen or a dashboard that presents information. We can take that concept and say, well, I'm managing 25 servers and I can have a dashboard to see if it complies with FISMA regulations and what part of them do and don't. And it can be done dynamically.
Exactly. So instead of like 25 virtual machines, most likely you're going to see like 2,500 or 25,000 in some of the larger data centers. If you're looking at the government initiatives, they're trying to consolidate the data centers because they have every agency has their own data center. Most of the data centers are 20-30% full, as we hear on the radio. So they're trying to consolidate them. And one of the ways they're going to do that is to move to virtualization where you can pack. Basically, if you took your old server and made that a file, that's pretty much how virtualization works. And then you can put multiple files on that server, so you're running multiple machines, and so you're getting this condensed version of it. So you're saving on your air conditioning, you're saving on your electric, you're saving on your space. But what you're doing is you're complicating that security process. And what you're trying to benefit from is what they call elasticity, meaning that I can expand and contract as I need to my computing power. And so instead of overbuying your power, if I started a new project, I would buy, you know, say I need 20 servers for this, and I might be 20% usage and maybe peak at 50%, but it's my project. I'm not going to underbuy my hardware because I can't afford to afterwards realize I didn't buy enough hardware to begin with. Well, when you move into virtualization, you can share those. And so that bouncing back and forth between 20 and 50 can be shared amongst many people.
During the break, we were talking about some IT folks up in New York and how cocky and arrogant they are about their use of virtualization. They assume everyone should use it, and why not? Now, the federal listener agrees 100%, but there's some constraints that the federal listener has. I mean, if you're in New York or Chicago or L.A., you just move it from one data center to another. You switch it and spin it up there and spin. Now, there are some agencies that we deal with. Some have three letters. Some don't, who may not allow you to do that flexibly. And so I think the challenge is the flexibility of virtualization within federal security constraints.
Right. I think it's every government agency. They're held to be their security compliance, like FISMA compliance, et cetera. There's a lot of different compliance. But they were on a three-year cycle. So I would go live with a product or go live with a solution, and I wouldn't change anything for 3 years, because if I did that, I'd have to go through that whole security process again, which could take, you know, weeks, months, and sometimes longer.
And do you think any technology would change in those 3 years? I mean, it's changing hourly almost, isn't it?
Yes, especially the whole every 18 months we double our performance, so you can imagine where we are after 3 years. But with the virtualization, it's really the ability to move around, and it changes so fast and on demand. So even if you're talking to your developers, as we were discussing earlier, was they're using it for testing. They can crank up a test environment. They can copy the production environment over to test. They can test on it, and they can delete it, and then retest again, and delete it, and retest again. So it's very rapid, the pace that you can move at once you move to the virtualized environment.
We've talked about theoretical concerns here. Can you give me a specific agency or maybe a bureau that you've worked with that have helped them out with managing the security compliance?
We worked a little bit with Department of Homeland Security. We did a large white paper. It's about 100 and some pages of the best practices of how would you secure a data center. There's a lot of issues from the smaller groups of the office where you might have, like you said, like the 25 or 50 virtual machines. That's easy to maintain. Well, easy is a relative, but it's easy to maintain manually, so you can do it on paper. Once you move to a large data center and you have hundreds or thousands of servers, and on top of that you have tens of thousands of VMs, how are you going to control all those? How are you going to know where everything is? And then, God forbid, you have a security incident, say like someone emails a classified piece of information on the wrong system. You need to wipe the disk. Where are they? Where's your data at? Because it could be anywhere.
Yeah. And so I would think that someone like Guidant Technologies must be able to keep a pulse on current technology and say, well, here's the problem. Monitoring 25,000 virtual machines, maybe there's three or four vendors that you could partner with to combine to provide a solution for our federal IT professionals. Is that right?
That's exactly what we did. What came out of the white paper is everyone said that's theoretically great and it would make sense on paper, but prove it to me. show me that you can actually do this. And so we got together with some vendors. Might have heard of some of them: Cisco, NetApp, VMware, some smaller ones, Catbird, and Security Associates. And we combined all their products together and created a solution where we could create a virtual data center and make it FISMA compliant. That was our goal. And then to automate that process, so since we're a BI firm, what we did was every product, we created a hook into it and grabbed all the data they had from the product, put it into a centralized database. And from that, we can show you all that. And then on top of that, you put your organization structure and who owns what servers. And then you can create these slices and dices of data where you can say, this is my agency. These are the systems I have. This is the project I have. These are the VMs where it is, down to that, or as low as, you know, entering IP address, and we can tell you everything about that VM.
I read Network World and all the magazines, and I, you know, see 10 companies that allow you to manage virtual servers. And one to ABCD, and Catbird may be one of them. And I just see so many articles and so many press releases, and so many people tell me about company A, company B, company C. I think I'd ask the same question. I think I'd go to Guidon and go, hey, I read your white paper. It's really good. But, you know, I saw 10 companies that claimed to do this. I mean, I'm not going to test all 10 of them out and then fall on my face, or I may succeed. But, you know, let's face it, not every company that makes a claim about capabilities can perform. And so what you do is you act, instead of a news aggregator, you act as a virtual technology management aggregator and find out what really does work.
Yeah, we had to do our homework. That was probably the first year of finding what products are out there. And what we learned is there is no one product that can get you to that solution. And it's a multitude of products. And it's the combining of those products to make that solution work is really what we call the secret sauce. And so we think that's what we've done.
If I heard a company named Catbird, I'm familiar with the Catbird seat is. It almost seems old-fashioned, but it does. A Catbird seat gives you perspective on many different situations. So maybe you need a little of this, a little of that, and a little bit of Cisco, a little bit of NetApp to come up with something that maybe is powerful enough for an agency and maybe not powerful enough for a commercial organization.
I think what we'll find is that the government is probably leading the charge in the security and the virtualization, but we've also had some commercial companies contact us, mostly along the banking industry. So they have the same security concerns going to virtualization as the government does.
Lots of security concerns. Talk a little more about virtualization control, maybe what exactly an optimization or an optimized portal is all about. Talk about compliance and virtualization as well. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Dan Ackerman, Executive Vice President, Partner at Guidant. He is not virtually here. He was actually here, but we're talking about virtualization. Before the last break, we talked about security and virtualization and the challenge that many of my listeners face in securing a virtual environment and how to manage that. It's kind of difficult. But let's throw another variable into the mix here. The compliance rules are changing all the time, and maybe my listeners have to do something like, was it continuous compliance or constant compliance? Is this even a concept anymore?
Yeah, this is the latest and greatest thing coming out of our friends at NIST. It's a good approach to it. As I said before, if you were doing FISMA compliance, you had 3 years when your system went live, and they're realizing that's a long time. There's a lot of things that change, and from both the security side and the system side. So now they're pushing a concept of continuous compliance, where you're constantly monitoring all of your systems for security compliance, so you can find a breach hopefully before someone else does.
And I think that's it's fair, and we like to comment and disagree and agree with the NIST folks, and we've had a lot of NIST folks on the air. They're plenty smart, and they're plenty dedicated, and they have to respond. And I think just if you look at the environment in technology in the last 5 years, I mean, just look at mobile devices, and what kind of threats will mobile devices have? I mean, combine mobile devices with 500 million people on Facebook and dangerous apps in the Facebook, all of a sudden you have to have something continuous or it's not worth anything at all.
Yeah, absolutely. They're also faced with just from the, like we were talking earlier, with the virtualization, the rapid changing, but they also have all their existing systems that they need to comply with, and they can't forget about them. So there's a combination of things there.
So if you're a federal IT professional and you're firing up some virtual servers, maybe your next position will be managing virtual servers. You can go to guident.com and still download that white paper, that 100-page white paper.
I don't think we have it quite downloadable, but it's a request. I think wrote it for an agency, we have to get their permission to share it. So it's not a publicly available white paper yet.
Yeah. My idea of a white paper is 6 to 8 pages. So 100 pages just talks about the depth of knowledge that you have to manage all these different servers.
Yeah, we're working on a downsized version of that. But, you know, they say in the proposal work, if you're writing a 100-page proposal, that's easy. You try to write a 3-page proposal, that's difficult. Mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of problem we're running into. How do we get all the concepts into something that's more of an executive summary?
So one of the capabilities in your organization is management consulting. So we take that kind of a generic topic, and the management consulting would focus in on security management or focus in on using virtualization, or what kind of consulting do you do for agencies?
A combination of things. We do the straight-up security processing and virtualization planning, data center planning, a lot of work around security. But as we were talking about earlier, one of the areas that we think we're on the forefront of is taking the business intelligence solution and combining that into the security practice and the virtualization practice. And we think there's a lot to be gained there because, especially in the continuous compliance, you can't just hire more workers to constantly go through your security process. You've got to automate that process. And not only automate the process, you have to understand where you are in the process. You have to understand where all your systems are, who owns them, what level they need to be at compliance. And so it really becomes more of a process and data management exercise than a person exercise.
Where 5 or 6 years ago, a person may be able to do something manually, get a physically maybe a piece of paper checklist and check something off, and the next step was maybe Excel spreadsheet or some type of spreadsheet. Now it's it almost has to be automated. How can it not be automated with thousands of virtual servers? I mean, I can maybe keep track of maybe 500 or 600. 1,000, 2,000, it just gets, it's too difficult.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. They hit the wall eventually on the manual processing, and then things break. And if you talk to the security professionals, they're basically pulling out their hair saying, how do I keep track of all this information? And what's my answer?
What is going to happen here in the next 4 or 5 years, Dan? We have virtualization. Any kind of breakthroughs you see in your crystal ball over there?
I think it's a convergence of products, and so trying to getting the synergistic effects from adding multiple products together to come up with a complete solution. I also think that we're going to find, we're going to standardize our standards in security. So instead of having everyone with their own security procedures, you're going to see more and more standardized. That'll allow for products to meet more than, like, you wouldn't just have a product that's FISMA compliant. It'd be DICAP compliant as well. And they're starting to map all these, what they call controls. When you break down the compliance, they go into controls. They're breaking those down to say, well, this is a control, and these are all the ways it maps back to the various compliance components. So you're not doing the same work over and over again.
And this is essentially what cloud computing is right now we're just trying to figure out what those standards are and compliance and non-compliance. Well, talk about the standard first, huh?
Right. Well, when you get into cloud computing, you're basically taking somebody else is virtualizing all the computers for you, where you just don't, you're not in charge of the computers anymore. You're not in charge of the security anymore. It's out with it, like they say, it's out there in the cloud. And there's a lot of third-party vendors do that. We think the government's going to move to more of a private cloud. So, like, you know, EPA would build their own cloud and have their own demand. The issue there is if you're the security person, how do you know that that's compliant? How do you know that's meeting your security procedures? If I'm the vendor, the cloud vendor, I can't give you like root access to show you everything that we're doing is secure. So how do I create that go-between window so that you can see into the systems, but I'm not giving up my control?
Say from a radio guy perspective, when they talk about using a lot of different servers in the cloud and ramping them up quickly, they call that a cloud burst. So this is going to be a whole lot of good words for me to talk about in the next few years here with cloud computing, with virtualization, and with just managing all of these new concepts that really didn't exist 5 or 6 years ago.
It's a lot of fun with all the new buzzwords coming up. And, you know, everyone is going to say, yeah, we're virtualized, we're in the cloud. And really, it's where you're really gaining the benefit is when you privatize your cloud and you're combining all your data resources together in one location.
We're going to have to end this interview. We've just spent about a half hour talking with Dan Ackerman about virtualization, managing the virtualization, and automating compliance to manage servers in a wide array of different types of federal agencies. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Dan Ackerman, Executive Vice President and Partner at Guidant. Thanks, Dan.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
For the Navy Department, cybersecurity is a multinational and intergovernmental business. Here's Chris Kelsall, Chief of the Cyber IT Workforce.
We have to be able now to work across federal government, state and local, and with our coalition allies. So we need to have a common language where we can speak cyber. So anytime that we have the ability to communicate through new people and new outlets, that's good news for us.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.